Thank you very much for joining us. Episode 4 of the week of the From the Horse's Mouth Royal Ascot daily previews. And once again, we have assembled certain Ruby Walsh and a certain Paddy Power, who have fired in winners aplenty on the Wednesday as we record before the racing has taken place on Wednesday. We assume there was plenty of winners for sure. So lads, we have got the task of finding winners for the Friday of Royal Ascot, not knowing the ground, not knowing where the form is, but you know, so what? Maybe you'll be actually in an advantageous position because you won't be skewed by certain biases and whatever and all that sort of crack. I'm not going to waffle anymore. We're going to talk about the Albany Stakes. I'm going to get your selections. At the time of recording, the 2:30, FLOTUS. Melania Trump or Mrs. Biden? I wonder this one's named after. 11-4. Hello You, 5-1. Prettiest, also 5-1. 9-1 for Cachet. They're all unbeaten once raced fillies. Oscula is 9-1. It's 14-1 for Sows and 16-1 in Big of the Rest. Paddy Power, give us a winner of the Albany.
Well, I was fancying Eve Lodge on Wednesday, right? But it was a non-runner and it's running here. So I'm tempted to go for that, but I'm not. I'm going to go for Cachet for George Bowie. Just obviously can do no wrong at the moment this season. And Cachet just won like a really good, I mean, there's loads of them have won like a really good one first time out, but at Newmarket, it was very taking. Now, I know it's owned by the Highclere Syndicate, so they love having their runners at Ascot and everything for a reason to go racing. But I just think this one probably definitely deserves to be in this lineup. And I think, yeah, it might be a decent price at 9 or 10 to 1.
Yeah, currently 9 to 1. Interesting to see how it goes in the market. Nicola Curry made a big name a couple of Royal Ascots ago, or a couple of Ascots ago. She certainly had a good, was it Raising Sands? I think she had a very good relationship with. Ruby, your thoughts on the Albany?
I'm going to go Prettiest. I thought she was pretty professional and did it really well at Navan. Jamie Heffernan rode it. Was pretty simple to watch. She beat Lopez Gold. She improves at all. Navan's a stiff, it's 5.5 furlongs, stiff track. I think she'll get to 6, and I liked what she did in Navan.
Before we move on to the 3:05, to confirm Frank Hickey, who napped up Eve Lodge in the Queen Mary. She obviously doesn't run in the Queen Mary, so he's moved his nap to the Albany. So he really does fancy Eve Lodge in the Albany, the 2:30. He's clearly a big fan of that filly. Move on to the 3:05. It's the King Edward. Again, you could call this the kind of the Royal Ascot Derby for three-year-old colts over a mile and a half. Alan Kerr for William Haggis and Tom Marcan. Very likely race, but potential improver still. 2-1 favourite at the time of recording. The Mediterranean for Aidan O'Brien. Ryan Moore is 9-2. Could have sent any number of horses, I suppose, for this title. For David Egan and Roger Varian is 5-1. 6-1 Gear Up. Been a little bit disappointing since being a very impressive two-year-old for Mark Johnson is 6-1. Also 6-1 for Yibber, for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. And 12-1 Gloucestershire, Tasman Bay. And 25-1. Ruby, your thoughts on the King Edward?
Well, it was difficult, and I wasn't mad strong at anything in particular. I think Gear Up's been a little disappointing. He looked better last year, but his last two runs have been disappointing behind a Dayar at Epsom and a York behind Hurricane Lane. Looked to be a much better horse in 2020. Yibber, I suppose, was second in Goodwood to Lone Eagle, but I don't have a strong opinion on the race.
You don't have to. We can't have a strong opinion in every single race. Paddy, your thoughts on the King Edward?
Yeah, I was going to go for Dancing King, but it wasn't declared. And that was Mark Johnson's. And the fact that he's only running Gear Up on this makes me kind of tempted to go for that one. But I can't get away from the favourite. I just love the idea that the Haggis stable is in such good form. Alan Kerr was an old colleague in Paddy Parrott for donkey's years. And a good friend of mine, Alan Kerr, I've been in a couple of horses with him as well. So for the ridiculous reason of the name of the horse, the form of the stable, the fact that he's coming out of a win, he's run 3 times, been first twice and second once. So there's a lot of reasons why Alan Kerr is favourite in this race, and the name is just the cherry on top for me.
Well, if you look at who he beat last time out, now I think reading the form literally is probably being a little bit silly, but he did beat a Dayar half a length last time out at Sandown. So, I mean, the form has been fairly franked. I don't think you could argue there, that's for sure, beating the very easy Derby winner last time out. So, Alan Kerr for Paddy. It's a skip for Ruby in the 3:05, the King Edward. We move on to the 3:40, which is the big group one for three-year-old sprinters, the Commonwealth Cup. A real success story this race. I must say, I didn't think it would be that good because I thought three-year-olds should be running against the older horses. But I think sprinters at this stage, as three-year-olds, it's very hard for them against the older horses. So this has been a great addition. Swayza, whoa, what do we make of this French filly? She's been hacking up on soft ground in France. 4-1 favourite. 9-2 Campanelli. We know she loves it at Ascot for Wes Ward and Frankie Dettori. 6-1 Supremacy for Clive Cox. Dragon Symbol 7-1. 12-1 Diligent Harry. Measure of Magic and 14-1 for Jumbie. It'd be great to see Aidan McGuinness with a good runner here. He's got a case of you, Ronan Whelan, on board. He's 16-1. 5,000-1 is not that price. It's 16-1 and Method also 16-1. Paddy, you're first for the Commonwealth.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to see it. And that's the one I'm tipping up as a case for you. The only blot in the copybook was when it was favoured for the Derrinstown Guineas trial, but disappointed that day and finished plumb last. But over 6 furlong has been pretty good. And I think could be in the mix at 16-1 because with these 3-year-olds, you don't really know how good they are. Like Supremacy, I was like an anti-post that was favoured for this race in the off-season. Came back, its comeback run was useless, was really disappointing. I was kind of going to ignore that, but then I'm going, Supremacy is 6-1. If that's 6-1, there's no way a case you should be 16-1. So I just think it might be overlooked.
Okay. Keep an eye out for a case you big price. Ruby?
Yeah, and a case you will love any drop around the falls. Really handles a dig in the ground. But on the off chance that it is dried up by Friday, and it's back on the quick side, Miss Amulet for me at 20-1. Overraced and needed the run in the Irish Guineas. Thought she's a pretty quick 2-year-old, beat Sacred, beat Frenetic, was second alcohol free in some of her runs last year. I'm going to go with her.
Okay, Miss Amulet, a big price. Ken Connell's got a couple in the race. He also has Laws of Indice. It's a cracking race, that the Commonwealth Cup, the 340. Watch out for those two at big prices from the lads. We move on to the 420 on the card, and this is our second Group 1 on Friday. And it is a coronation. It is for 3-year-old fillies over the mile trip, the round course, remember. Market at the time of recording, Mother Earth 7-2, the 1,000 Guineas Heroine 4-1, Pretty Gorgeous, Primo Bazio also 4-1, which I think means First Kiss, 6-1, Empress Josephine surprise winner at the Curragh in the 1,000 Guineas. It's 9-1, Alcohol Free, 11-1, Snow Lantern, 12-1, November, 14-1, Potapova, who was mentioned on the Anti-Post podcast, and 20-1 for the rest, 21 and bigger for the rest. Right, lads, I know what you tipped up in the Anti-Post podcast, so I'm intrigued to see if you still stick, because they both still run. Ruby?
Yeah, and I'm sticking with them. And look, you make up your own mind about what the ground is like. If it's slow, Pretty Gorgeous. If it's quick, Shale.
It's as simple as that. So good or faster, Shale. Good to soft or slower, Pretty Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. That's it. That's it for me in a nutshell, PK.
Simple as that. Paddy?
I've got a really good feeling about this race, and I'm not changing my mind from Potapova. And I can't say it's based on anything other than a feeling, because obviously she's run twice. She's absolutely hosed up twice in probably normal enough races. This is a Group 1. But it is, you know, Michael Stout and, his stable isn't flying at the moment, but anyway, but it is Royal Ascot, a young lady, and Michael Stout, and often this is where they come alive and make their reputation, and she just could be anything, and she's a big price at each way, I think at 14-1 or thereabouts. I don't think she'd be running for the crack.
You know the way there are some horses, trainers, colours, jockeys, that sometimes, like you just said, you get that feeling, I love an improving Sheveley Park filly trained by Sir Michael Stout as well. I don't know what it is. You just think, oh yeah, that's one that's going to go out of handicaps and run in the matron at the end of the season or something like that. I get you. I get exactly what you mean, Paddy. Right, Potapova at a big price for Paddy in the Coronation, and Ruby, Shale or Pretty Gorgeous. We're weather watching for those two.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Move on to the 5 o'clock. This is another mile handicap at Royal Ascot. This time it's the Sandringham for fillies on the straight mile. A big field, 8-1 the field. Gleska Gal, your favourite. 10-1 Castena for Frankie and John Thady Gosden. 10-1 Beheld. Friendly for Aidan O'Brien Rymore. Tops the weight. She doesn't win very often, but she's been highly tried. She's 12-1. Ready to Venture, 12-1. As is Ashari and Belief and Montego Bay. 16-1 Ilicato, My Generation, and Create Belief and Far Hope. And I will keep on going. We'll go on forever. Paddy, you're first up for the Sandringham.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Belief. I'm going to go for another William Haggis horse. Hopefully he has a few winners this week. I've gone for a good few of his horses over the week. But I just hope the ground hasn't gone too soft at this stage. So if it's dried out again, it's a thunderstorm. Who bloody well knows at this stage. But anyway, I just think Belief looks potentially much better than the current mark. And drawn 20, who knows, but I think that's probably okay. And I think a 12 to 1 could be in the mix.
Yeah, big day for Sheveley Park, Paddy. Could be a big day. Ruby.
I'm actually going to go for Create Belief, who's got up £10 winning at the Curragh in his last start, but slow ground in the Curragh. Ben Cohn rode Create Belief for Johnny Murta. Thought it quickened up well and was always doing plenty in front. Looked a bit idle to me. I know it got £10 for it, but I think it could be improving. So Create Belief for Johnny Murta.
A couple of daydream believers on the pod today. One with Belief and the other with Create Belief. What are the chances? The 5.35, another mile and a half handicap. This time it's the Duke of Edinburgh, not the King George that was on the previous day. And looking at the market, 5 to 1. I don't know how you pronounce this one. There's so many A's and D's and E's in this, but we're going to go a day, which is 5 to 1, 6 to 1, Quick Thorn. Then Grand Bazaar is 15 to 2. Miran for Johnny Murta, sending a few runners over towards the back end of the week, 10 to 1. Raymond Tusk, 10 to 1, as is Tritonic and Valerian Steel. Zabeel Champion, 12s. Scarlet Dragon, 14s for Holly Doyle and Alan King. Fearsome Pair, and 16 to 1, and bigger the rest. Ruby, you're first.
Yeah, not bowling strong on this one either. I know we really fancied Baby Zeus. Nakura and Moran was second to him, but I thought Baby Zeus was value for that. Moran ran off 96 that day. It's gone up to £4 for that run. Baby Zeus is probably well in, but I think that might, the handicapper might just have to have to catch. And Moran wasn't mad strong on this one either, PK, but
okay.
Look, a day is pretty short. 5 to 1. Maybe he's the one.
Maybe he is. We'll see how he goes. Paddy?
Yeah, I'm going for the Cheltenham flop, Tritonic. I just think that would be, even going into Cheltenham, you kind of say the one doubt was that maybe wouldn't handle the kind of the undulations and that kind of thing. It might have been just a bit of a flat track horse, and disappointed there. At this point, Cheltenham for it afterwards, to be fair, but before that, I'd look very, very good. Alan King has booked Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore was penciled in for this one well before declaration time as well. And I think, I don't know if that's significant or not, but kind of jumped out to me that obviously this was a plan. They wanted a good jock, and they were just, they're going to get him early, and made a case for him to choose this one and commit early. So he's a big price at 10 to 1. I think Alan King, again, at Ascot has a decent record. So Tritonic for me.
Very, very good record. Right, Tritonic, watch out for him in the 5.35 on Friday. Right, one more race on Friday. It is a sprint handicap, 5 furlong. The Palace of Holyrood House up in Scotland handicap. Now, what are the prices for this? 9 to 2 Equality, 11 to 2 Boom Shala, significantly also 11 to 2, 6 to 1 Warrior Brave, Get It for Adam Kirby and Clive Cox is 10 to 1, 12 to 1 Rebel at Dawn, who ran not too long ago actually. Matt Chapman tipped up in this pod when he was second on the weekend, 14 to 1 Norban, 16 to 1 Nomadic Empire, 16 to 1 Popmaster, and Musalita, and there's a load of horses, 16 to 1. Okay, Paddy, you're up first for the final race.
Okay, well, I'm going off the theory again. Like, these are three-year-olds, right? So I think experience is going to be important. Now, a lot of them have run a good few times because it is a handicap rather than a group race or whatever, or a conditions race. But the one I'm going for is the one that just doesn't seem to know how to lose. It's Musalita, number 14, who is on a 6 timer, I think. And just, I think, I'm going off the theory that sprinters just improve as they learn to race. The more they race, the better they get. And I know mostly it's probably creeping up the handicap, but hasn't seemed to been, like, if you just look at the prices of her wins, she seems to be underrated quite a bit. Now, she's got a new jockey on board, which is Oisin Murphy, which is no harm, I guess. And 16 to 1, why not Musalita?
Lovely. Ruby?
I'm going to go for Boom Shala. Won well at Windsor at the end of May. And look, Equality is in 19. Boom Shala is in 22. And significantly, is in stall 24. They're pretty much clustered together, or close enough together, the three horses at the top of the betting. But Boom Shala, Andrea Zini, and Roger Varian would be the one for me.
And that is day 4 wrapped up in a nutshell in record time. Again, we need the naps. And again, I'll just confirm Frank Hickey, who'll be back on the pod on Friday, by the way, for those who've been missing him. He has been missed, because I keep on telling him he's not needed. He's gone for Eve Lodge in the Albany. I know I mentioned it earlier on, but just a reminder, in the 2:30, that's his nap of the Friday. Paddy, your nap on Friday. Tough day.
It is a tough day because I've picked a load of long-priced horses. I mean, Alan Kerr is the shortest of the ones I've picked, but I'm not going to nap that because that was my second choice in the race.
On the nap table, you need a long price winner, Paddy.
Okay, do I? Okay, well, do you know what I'll do? I'll wait for the lucky last and see how I'm going. I'll go for Musalita in the last.
Okay, Musalita. Ruby, you're napping on the Friday?
Oh.
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. I want to be on Shale if it stays dry. Pretty gorgeous. I'm going to go with it. The weather's going to be lashing rain. I'm going to go with Pretty Gorgeous.
Pretty Gorgeous. Okay, so Pretty Gorgeous for Ruby. Hoping the rain arrives. I'm going for Sueza in the Commonwealth. I think she could be a right speed ball from France and hopefully a nice price, and the English punters don't ignore her and all that sort of crack. So I'm going for her in the Commonwealth. So that is the naps. Listen, lads, thanks very much for your time. Another day, dust done and dust. One more to come. Watch out. We're going to take a break, or I'm going to take a break. Paddy, you'll be back to cover the weekend with Rob and Frank, which should be, or actually, it's Frank, you're also going to take a break. You're going to Waterford, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed, yeah.
I'm just, Whereabouts, so everyone can look out for you. Whereabouts exactly?
I'm going to Annstown, so it's near, beside Tramore, basically.
No race on tomorrow's weekend, no?
No, but I will be sticking my head into Henry de Bromhead.
Oh, very good. To look at a horse that you may or may not have a leg in?
I'll be looking at a horse that have a leg in, yeah. So hopefully
the one, okay. Henry hopefully wants to potentially
hopefully,
have a leg.
Hopefully the horse exists anyway, so we're going to have to have a look.
Okay, very good.
It's very hospitable, Henry, now, to be fair. We'll have a great time. All the kids will match up well, and everyone's going to be a good bit of crack.
He is. He's done all right in the last year or so as well. I'm glad he still has time for you.
Yeah, I'm surprised he does, to be honest with you. I'm not sure I should say it on here, in case if he knows I'm coming, he might close up shop and close the curtains and hide behind the couch.
Just arrive in a red jumper with a white sash and a blue hat and say you're representing Sheveley Park, and he'll welcome you in with open arms for sure, because he's got all those good ones there for sure.
Well, to be fair, he's actually getting the freedom of the city of Waterford in a ceremony on Thursday night, so I'm kind of hoping he turns up wearing a big chain or something. Yeah,
that would be gas. I wonder if there's one of those funny things like you got in the U2 or whoever gets the freedom of Dublin, didn't they? You're like, graze your sheep in Stephen's Green or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you're probably allowed to have a pint on a Viking ship or something on the river in Waterford, or every time you cross the bridge, you get a free pint or something along those lines. That'd be a good bit of crack. Well, you enjoy your time in the sunny south.
Let's hope it's a sunny south middle, yeah.
Yeah, so sunny southeast. Ruby, weekend plans? Come on, give us your weekend plans since you're off of the pod.
What are my weekend plans? Watch Ascot and bring my kids to an event on Sunday in Rosanna.
Lovely. Okay, an event involving horses, I'm sure.
A one-day event. My girls are riding.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff. Glad to see those back. And Sir Mark Todd has got a runner in Tasman Bay as well, and sticking to the eventing theme as well. For those who know their eventing, they'll know Sir Mark Todd, and he's got a runner who's got a bit of a chance as well, actually, at Ascot and the King Edward VII. Right, that has definitely put everyone off this pod, right? Okay, let's wrap it up. Hope you enjoy the weekend. As I said, Rob, Frank, and Matt will be back tomorrow to look ahead to the weekend's racing. I hope you've all enjoyed a somewhat profitable week, or a very profitable week. But until the next time, do subscribe to the pod for more. Enjoy the weekend. Summer's here, folks. Beer gardens are open. Thanks, everyone.